Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm sitting here with John Venable.
Hello.
And we are going to do his answers to the four questions here. If you're a fan of the podcast, maybe you know, we have everyone who comes in answer the Discover Indie Film four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. And by the way, the reason John is sitting here is because his excellent film, First Person, that he produced is in the Discover Indie Film TV series. So you should go to Amazon Prime Video, go to Season 3. Oh, search for Discover Indie Film, and then go to Season 3, Episode 1, and watch John's film, First Person, because it is excellent.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Go ahead. It'll be cool to hear what your inspirations are.
I went about this in a little different way because the first question is what are your three favorite films of all time? And in lieu of going back through my memory and memory banks and like thinking what are all the Oscar-winning dramas and period pieces and blah blah, it's like I was just thinking that comedy doesn't get enough of a fair shake when it comes to awards and things like that. And what movies do I watch more than any, when you turn on the TV and there it is, I'm more prone to watch these films, no matter where it starts, comedies. So anyway, my answers would be Blazing Saddles, great Mel Brooks film, The Jerk, and Monty Python and the Holy Grail. With an honorable mention for Dumb and Dumber. I just love all of those films. And, yeah, like I said, if they're on,
and
just picking on
them. Every time you watch them, they're as funny as the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful picks.
You see something new every time. Or maybe not, because you've seen them so many times, but it's just, it's like comfort food. You sit down and you're like, this is great.
And Holy Grail, yeah, and The Jerk. We already discussed Steve Martin a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, The Jerk. I quote The Jerk all the time, and I think people don't know.
Yeah, I know. We're showing our age when we're quoting Steve Martin albums and Steve Martin films back when he was, still doing like The Man with Two Brains and, all the stuff that he did initially, which was also hilarious.
The Man with Two Brains, I always remember. As far as finger sucking goes, I'm perfectly happy in this relationship. But anyhow, well, I'm glad you picked comedy. Comedy deserves it.
Yeah.
And funny, we'll talk Monty Python later, but I kind of lean towards Life of Brian now.
No, I love the entire Monty Python world. Life of Brian, The Meaning of Life.
Meaning of Life is vastly underrated.
It's
so funny.
It's so great.
So funny. So many great sequences.
Yeah. So, can't go wrong there.
All right. Well, you want to give us your underrated?
Yeah, underrated. I came up with four different films, but I know you asked for one. So
you can break the rules all you want.
Well, I'll just mention the one that is the biggest film that I was just looking on Rotten Tomatoes at films that I liked and seeing which ones had lower ratings than I thought they deserved. And I think this one had like a 60 or 70% rating. And I just thought it was fantastic. And I know the guy has had a lot of trouble in this town. But Apocalypto is just an amazing film. And if you think about Mel Gibson in the first two movies that he made, The Passion of the Christ and Apocalypto, he made two foreign language films that are dead languages. Yet, and I think Apocalypto more than Passion of the Christ is such a well-told story. And it's just action excitement from beginning to end. It's fantastic, I think.
I have heard, by the way, I haven't seen it.
No.
Although I've heard nothing but great things, I think not enough people have seen it, so it's a great underrated. But yeah, he has a skill set that can't be denied.
Yeah.
Even if, a combination of booze and racism has affected his life.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And Jodie Foster vouches for him, so that's got to mean something, right?
Something. Yeah.
But means something.
He was able to do a little something before he, drove the car off the cliff.
Yeah, but you make me regret that I never saw Apocalypto.
Oh, there's, really do. There's plenty of things that I haven't seen that I need to see. And then the other underrated films that I thought in there, and these are lesser known films, but when I saw them, I loved each and every one of them, and they were all ranked like really low on Rotten Tomatoes, like in the 50s or 60s. But Lucky Number 11, which is Josh Hartnett, and I can't remember, but that's a really great action film. Alpha Dog is a wonderful movie. And then Lords of Dogtown.
Yeah, the skateboarding.
Yeah, yeah. Heath Ledger.
And, fantastic. And just,
it's a, yeah, it's a great, great movie. Overrated film. Now this one, it's difficult because you don't want to talk shit about people, but,
and it can be good. No, you can say that it's got merit. It's just,
yeah. And that's why I chose the one that I chose. And I actually looked at two of them. The lesser one was Gosford Park. I just didn't like hanging out with those people for an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it was. But the film that I think is overrated, because people who love him, is Brick by Rian Johnson. I think it's a really well-crafted film. And I absolutely understood what he was going for. It just didn't work for me. I just couldn't take the noir language coming out of teenagers' mouths. It just didn't add up for me. And I, like I said, it's like I'm watching it and I was like, oh, I get what's going on here. And I understand. And it's a bold stab, but it just didn't work for me. But what didn't work for me didn't effing matter, because then he came back and made some spectacular films, and his part in the Star Wars canon, I just watched it 2 weeks ago, and it's friggin' fantastic. I love it. And then Looper was a great movie. I enjoyed that as well. But anyway, I didn't connect with Brick.
Nor did I. If we had watched Brick together, we would have turned to each other when it was done, and I would have said, it might have been the expectations game, because a lot of people told me it was amazing.
Yep.
So then when I watched it, instead of just, if I'd seen it at a festival with no warning, maybe I would have loved it. But because I was told it was so amazing, I was like, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
You know, but just good.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about it going in. I didn't have any expectation. But that's the only film ever that, you know, I wrote a review of that I had angry emails from. People telling me that I didn't know dick about films, and
yeah, there's, you know, what have you. Really love it.
That's one of their favorite films, and it's, I've heard several people say that, and that's fine and dandy. You know, that's why there's all different flavors of the rainbow.
And that's the only way that we can call something overrated in a way is because you're just saying, I'm not going with, was not common knowledge. I'm
the status quo.
The status quo. I don't see what everyone else sees.
Right.
Look, mine, I go back and forth on it, but mine is actually Citizen Kane.
Really?
Yeah, because Citizen Kane's a great film.
Yeah.
But I've had way too many film school professors and other people say it's the greatest thing ever made. And every time I watch it, I'm like, no, it's not even, right, it's not even Oscar Wilde's best film. Magnificent Ambersons was better the one after it, but whatever. I mean, I'm like, I'm not saying that Orson Welles could make a great film. I'm just saying it's overrated. Everyone trumps it up as something it's not.
That reminds me. I actually love that film. See? But then yeah, think of the Kubrick film, the very early black and white that Slim Pickens rides the missile. How
Doctor Strangelove.
You know, I watched that back when I was a complete dumbass. You know, which is what I refer to myself at any point under the age of like 23 or 24, something like that. And I just didn't get how people could say this was the best comedy of all time, not understanding that it was all political satire and what have you. I need to go back and revisit it at my advanced age, you know, so that I could have a better appreciation for it. And especially now with the world we live in and how everything is hyper politicized. And I bet it is a glowing example of comedy.
Yeah.
Now,
almost every line in that film is funny in a really subtle way.
Yeah.
Sometimes not subtle at all.
Right.
But yeah, I'm a big Strangelove fan. Yeah. So there you go. See, I love Strangelove. You love Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're good.
And this one is the one that I'm the happiest to be able to say something about, a lesser known film that people should seek out. Cause this, I know this is a movie that not a lot of people saw. And it's called In America. And it is, have you ever seen that or heard of it?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's director Jim Sheridan, who was the guy who did all the films with Daniel Day-Lewis, My Left Foot, The Boxer, In the Name of the Father. In America is a loose retelling of his family's story of immigrating from Ireland. And I say loose because I think it's moved forward as far as the time period, and it doesn't feature a boy. It features two young girls as the daughters. Samantha Morton is the mother. Patty Considine is the father. And the girls give two of the best performances by children in a movie ever, especially the youngest one. She's just amazing. She's so cute and she's so good. And I was reading somewhere where Jim said that that the girls would call to action and cut in every part, every day of filming. But anyway, it's just a fantastic film, and I just watched it again over the weekend to make sure that I was remembering everything correctly, because I hadn't seen it in a while, and showed it to my friend Pam, and she was crying at the end and just absolutely loved it as well. But yeah, that's a fantastic.
I think I did. You know what? I did see it. Yeah, wonderful film.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's fantastic. And then an honorable mention: 24-hour Party People.
Yes,
which is just a fantastic movie. Michael Winterbottom and Steve Coogan stars in it, and it is such a uniquely told story. And you know, if you're, especially if you're into New Order or
yeah, if you like that era,
the Manchester scene. There's just so much stuff in there that, you know, in the beginning they're at a Sex Pistols show, and they're narrating all the different people who are in the room watching the Sex Pistols. And the whole film is just fantastic. And they shot it all on video and then transferred it to film. So it has a different look. It was a really small budget. And this was after I'd seen a Winterbottom film that I loathed. I couldn't stand it. I just didn't think it was very good. And then I saw this one, and it's like, oh man, that's fantastic.
It's so good. I will forever remember that. Well, first of all, Steve Coogan speaking to camera is, I could watch that all day.
Yeah.
He's such a unique talent. Mm-hmm. But I always remember that moment in the rave club when he's saying, note this moment. That's the first time they're cheering the DJ, not the music. And such a big cultural change.
Yeah.
And they catch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great film. And yeah, most people haven't seen it.
No. I recommend it all the time to musician friends and film aficionados and whoever. It's like, man, you want to see a great film about music.
Actually, as a Coogan fan, that movie makes it hard for me to watch his other stuff because he's like generally wasted in other films.
You know what I mean?
Like he doesn't, if he hasn't written it or it's not like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't quite get to see the Coogan I want, but
right.
I guess I'm being a jerk.
No, I've wanted to watch. It's like, well, why haven't you then? Those films where they travel across the countryside, him and his and a buddy of his, and they just
The documentaries. Yeah, I want to see that too.
Because
yeah.
I think that would be a lot like 24-hour Party People in a way. But he's playing another character. That character that he plays has a whole. They had a whole series, I think, a TV series that they did based on that. The character that Coogan was playing in the film.
Yeah, because he was a TV presenter.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was playing a TV presenter.
Right.
Yeah, and they even, right, like the blowjob in the car, like then they turned, or the blowjob in the wife fucking a guy in the bathroom, then it turns, the camera just pans from Steve Coogan to the real guy who he's playing, and he just looks in the camera and goes, I don't remember it this way. And then they go back to Coogan and he goes, artistic license. And then they just move on. And
right.
It's like so cool that like the guy who the film is based on, and I think it's based on his own book. It's
Alan Partridge. That's the name of the guy.
Oh, well, that's his character. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm
character,
Alan Partridge.
Character.
Yeah, he did many TV series as Alan Partridge.
And I haven't gone back and...
Where he plays much older than himself. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. I needed to go investigate that, especially with my love for 24-Hour Party People, and it's that same character.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, here, let me do the closing spiel. Although, do you want to mention website, social media?
Oh, sure. Shortscreenplay.com for the short screenplay contest that we run here. And then at John Venable for Instagram or Twitter. Yep.
Excellent. All right. And John is here because first person, like I said in the intro, first person, the film he produced out of shortscreenplay.com is a hilarious, fantastic film that is in the Discover Indie Film TV series. So go to Amazon Prime Video. Go to season 3, episode 1 and enjoy some great comedy. And if you want to learn more about Discover Indie Film, which is this podcast and the TV series that complements it, or the other way around, sometimes I can't tell, go to discoveryindiefilm.com or go to @DIFWINS on social media. And the Sherman Oaks Film Festival that had first person as an official selection is shermanoaksff.com or @ShermanOaksFF on social media. And its sister festival, Film Invasion LA, is filminvasionla.com and @FilminvasionLA on social media. And if I forgot to mention 5 stars, you know what? You're listening to this podcast. Give this podcast 5 stars wherever you're watching it, listening to it. And if you watch the Discover Indie Film TV series, give it 5 stars on Amazon.
Heck yeah.
Why not? All right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you.